Over the summer, we're going to the books of Psalms and wisdom literature, and in that we're picking various Bible verses and texts that speak to us about wisdom and life. And today we're looking at the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1, 1 through 7. And as you turn there, I want to introduce our guest speaker this morning, Mr. Mark Ramirez Sr. Mark Ramirez is a Brooklyn native whose journey from corporate world to ministry reflects a deep commitment to serving others. He served for 18 years as a church and fellowship church in Dallas, Pennsylvania, including 14 as the lead pastor. He's the district superintendent for the Evangelical Free Church of America here in the Southeast region. He oversees over 100 churches across 9 states, including even Puerto Rico and Haiti. And he's been a big blessing to me and our church. He's married to Stephanie for over 30 years, and they have 3 children. They live in Port Orange, Florida. He's with us today. Can't come here all the time. He's a very busy man. He's constantly getting asked to travel and speak and go here and there. But maybe once a year, maybe more, we could get him here and so that you could hear from him. And I want you to see that we are connected. We're not just doing ministry in isolation, but we're connected to a broader body of church with over 1,500 churches across America. And he's going to be preaching to us from God's Word from Proverbs 1, 1 through 7. I hope you've turned there by now. It'll also be on the screen. I'll read God's Word for us. This is the Word of the Lord. Opening up the book of Proverbs, which is on wisdom, it says this, The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Pastor Mark.
Well, good morning, Eastside Community Church. It is a real blessing for me to be able to be here. Thank you, Pastor David, for that wonderful introduction. It really is a joy for me to be with you today, to share the Word of God with you. And as Pastor David mentioned, I am Mark Ramirez, and recently has stepped into this exciting role of a district superintendent in the Southeast. And when I visit churches and I say that I'm the district superintendent of the Southeast of the Evangelical Free Church of America, I go, yeah, that is a mouthful to say. But all of you here at Eastside, you know this better than any church because I am following 20 plus years of faithful ministry of our very own Glenn Schreiber. And thank you, Glenn, for your encouragement to me in this role. And thank you, Eastside, for that partnership. My wife, Stephanie, is with me today, as well as our son, Mark, and we are thankful, really, just for the way that God moved us over the last year and a half from northeastern Pennsylvania, from cold and snowy northeast PA, to sunny Florida. Again, I assumed this role in January of last year. We moved from Pennsylvania to Port Orange. That's where we're living now, and previous to that, as Pastor David mentioned, I'd pastored a church for 18 years, same church in Northeast PA. Now, I have to admit, we're still getting used to life here in Florida. We're adjusting to, things like I-95, I-4, thunderstorms that are a little bit different than they are in the Northeast, just a little. Preparing for hurricanes, which we had some of that already. But God really has just been so, so good to us. And we're adjusting, really, just adjusting just fine. You see a picture there of my family, of our family. We have 3 adult children. Our 2 daughters, Julia and Gabriella, and their husbands, Julia and Logan, Gabriella and Ricky, they still are in Pennsylvania, so we miss them greatly, but will be visiting with us in a couple weeks, and we're excited about that. And our son, Mark Jr., who just graduated from Liberty University. I understand we also had some others who were there. We were there to be able to be a part of the graduation ceremony in Lynchburg in May, and it was a wonderful, wonderful ceremony. And he just started his new career. He's a business major and just started his new career in the supply chain field, working in Daytona Beach. And so thankful for the way that God provided that. And so, yeah, that's just a little bit of our family and kind of this transition that we have been through. And before we look into God's word and into the text that was read for us already, I just want to share with you a little bit of why I love being part of the EFCA, which I do. I loved pastoring in the EFCA and love the opportunity that I have now to serve in this role. And one of those reasons is our mission. Our mission is simple, I like to say, but profound. We exist to glorify God by multiplying transformational churches among all people. And it's very simple, but again, a profound statement. And what it means is that the EFCA believes that the spread of the gospel and the building up of Christ's kingdom, that is best done in and through His Spirit-empowered church. And that's a great statement to be able to make. And so we're committed to seeing more and more churches doing just that. And we have more than 1,600 churches globally and more than 100 churches here in the Southeast District, which you can get a sense of what that district looks like. And again, Eastside Community, right here in Jacksonville, you are a significant part of what we're doing in the district. It's one of the things that I like to communicate to our churches when I visit is just the opportunity to say that you're a part of what it is that we're doing, and we're thrilled to be able to say that we're a part of what it is that you're doing right here. And also that means that Eastside isn't alone. You're a part of a family of 100+ churches, and we unite together in this mission to proclaim Christ. And we've tried to identify a little bit more clearly what is it that we're trying to do as a district with our churches. And the way that we're communicating that is that we are here to support and strengthen the spiritual health of our churches, pastors, and leaders. We just want to support our churches, our pastors, and our leaders. We want them to be spiritually healthy, which is, again, a benefit to the body. And that's what our district team is really working to do. And one member that's a part of that team is somebody who's also a part of this church. Hugo Cancha is a part of our team, leading our Hispanic ministries. And so we're so glad to have Hugo as part of our team, helping us to do the things that God has called us to. We also hope to strengthen the engagement of our churches together. And that's one of the things that we do as a district, is encourage the coming together of our leaders and our pastors. And one of the things that happens when they come together is there is a visual recognition that, oh, we're not alone in this. And that is one of the things that can happen to pastors in ministry. It's a temptation that the enemy will throw our way, that sometimes the difficult days you can feel alone. But we're here to say, as a district and as the EFCA, there is support available. There are resources available. We are here for you. And so we thank you, the church, for the opportunities that you give your pastors to be a part of the things that we're doing as a district, and then also the things that we're doing nationally. So let me just once again just say, on behalf of the Evangelical Free Church of America and also the Southeast District, let me just thank you, Eastside Community, for your partnership with us in the gospel. Amen. Thank you. And again, thank you, Pastor David, for inviting me to be able to share with you today and to be able to share the Word of God with you. And also to just stay in sync with your summer series and what you're doing. And so we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 1 today. And in this chapter, it really contains the purpose statement, not just for this book, but really it's a purpose statement that can be drawn out for our world today. And if you just step back and look at kind of what's happening in our world today, sadly, our world has really perfected the art of ignoring God. Just kind of reducing him to a footnote or a distraction even. I just saw last month, it was a major news outlet, was celebrating a recent study that had come out. And the recent study had said that there has been a decline of religion into irrelevance. And they weren't just reporting on it, they were celebrating it. And it represents that this isn't just a cultural shift. It really is a spiritual catastrophe when you think about it. I have this quote here from David Wells, and he writes in his really great work, God in the Wasteland. He says, God rests lightly in our time. He has become an inconsequential God. So think about this. How did the God of all wisdom become inconsequential? How does that happen? We traded fearing him for self-sufficiency. And Solomon will counter here to that thought. And he'll say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so our God, one of these we're gonna look at today is our God is not trivial or optional. He's the Lord God, creator, judge, father, and he offers wisdom. And Solomon here isn't giving us tips that you can, you know, just take if you want. You know, these aren't just that. He's demanding really a revolution of our hearts. Because true wisdom isn't really going to be found in cultural trends or tweets. It's going to be found in bowing before the God of all wisdom, who speaks to us. And so my encouragement today is just to help us rediscover what so much of our world has abandoned, which is really an awe-filled life that starts with God. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to look at who God is. We're going to look a little bit at our author, Solomon. We're going to look at some key terms in Proverbs to make sure that we're all on the same page. Then we're going to look at some of the purposes of the Proverbs, its audience, and then the foundational wisdom statement that he gives to us. But let's start by asking God to lead us and go before us. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we recognize that even as we gather on this Lord's Day as your people, purchased by your blood, that we do this not because it's ritual, not because it's just what we do on Sunday, but we do this out of worship and reverence of who you are, and in the recognition that we are part of a body, and we have come together in this place to worship you. And Lord God, we also recognize that we need your help to understand your truth and your word. We need the Spirit of God to illuminate truth, and we need hearts that are open and ears that hear. As Jesus said so often, have ears to hear. So Lord, I pray that you would give us these ears to hear, hearts that are open, and Lord God, that you would do the work that only you can do in the hearts of all that are here today. May they hear from you, and we pray and ask this in Christ's name, amen. So let's look at answer this question. Who is this God of all wisdom? The God that we worship, the God of the scriptures. He is the God of all wisdom. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And so when we think about God, we have to recognize that he lacks nothing in knowledge. There is no missing insight from God. Wisdom begins and ends with him. In Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom, in that chapter, wisdom starts to speak. Wisdom itself is speaking. And in that chapter, what does wisdom say? It says that before the mountains were formed, before the oceans were filled, wisdom was there because God was there. And what this means is that no wisdom exists apart from God. And as believers, there are certain things we need to understand about God. God is not smart as if he went to school and learned a lot. There's no fact, there's no science, there's no truth that is outside his knowing, understanding, and originating. These very things that I just mentioned, science and truth and facts, they exist because God himself set them into motion. Not a cell in your body escapes his design and understanding. We're not talking, when we talk about God, we're not talking about a wise and experienced teacher. We are talking about the source of all wisdom and knowledge. And what we're seeing here is that it is this God who has chosen to reveal wisdom to us. So we don't find wisdom because we worked so hard to search for it. As many may think in the world, wisdom is revealed and it's given from the source of all wisdom, this God. And so now, as we think about that, let's now look at the man that God entrusted with more wisdom than any other. Solomon, our writer, the writer of Proverbs, at least most of them. So turn in your Bibles really quick, if you will, to the Old Testament book of 1 Kings. I just want you to get a sense of what is written about our author here. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29, and it'll also be here on the screen for you to see. 1 Kings 4, verse 29, and the first three words kind of summarize what I just mentioned, and God gave. That's where it starts. Starts with God. And God gave what? Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure. Couldn't measure it. Beyond breadth of mind. And his wisdom is described as the sand on the seashore, which you guys in Jacksonville should know a little bit about, right? So that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. And Egypt at this time was considered to be the place of wisdom. So he surpassed them all. He was wiser than all other men. Wiser than Ethan, the Ezrahite. And as I read this, I was thinking, poor Ethan, right? He gets mentioned in the Bible for the sole purpose of saying you're not as smart as Solomon. And same with Heman and Calcol and Darda, the sons of Mahal, right? Poor guys. And his fame was in all the surrounding nations. And oh, by the way, he spoke 3,000 proverbs. This guy just speaks proverbs. Oh, and he's a songwriter. He wrote over 1,000 songs. Couldn't stop at 1,000, 1,005. And he spoke of trees from the cedar that is in Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the wall. Now, we might think, well, that's not too big of a deal. But what that's revealing is that Solomon was really, he was kind of like a botanist. He understood how it all worked. Not because he went to school, but because he received it from the source of wisdom. He also spoke of beasts and of birds and of reptiles and of fish. So he was a zoologist as well. And the people of all the nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon and from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. So people are coming, kings, rulers from all over to hear from this man. So he was a philosopher. He was a master politician and all these other things. And so what we see here is how blessed he was with wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and it's all because God gave it to him. Now, we also know the rest of the story with Solomon, and that is he made some serious mistakes in his life. But that does not take away from what it is that we're understanding about what God did in terms of revealing wisdom to him. He was the wisest man in the world in his lifetime. Just think about that. Some of us just want to be the smartest person in the room once in a while, right? Just once in a while, can I be the smartest person in the room? How about the wisest person on the planet? So, what did this great wise king say? What did he write for us here today to read and to learn from? That's where we're going to go back now to chapter 1 of the book of Proverbs. It was already read for us earlier, but before we look at the purposes, what I would like to do is define some words just to make sure that we're all on the same page. So the first word I want to define is, what is a proverb? Not in a cultural sense, but from a biblical perspective. So a proverb, which is mashal in the Hebrew, and I'm I don't speak Hebrew great, so I'll say that up front. But the definition from Elwell's Evangelical Dictionary of Theology is that it's a succinct, often metaphorical saying that conveys moral, practical, or theological wisdom grounded in observation and divine revelation. And so what I like about this definition is it's really drawn hermeneutically. It comes from the text. It's an understanding of what the Bible teaches about this wisdom and what a proverb is. So they're short. A proverb is short. A proverb is often metaphorical. A proverb conveys general truths. That's important to understand, because when you read a proverb, you can't say in every situation of that's described here, this will apply. It applies generally. And this book of Proverbs that we're looking at here is a collection of these sayings of Proverbs. What about the word wisdom? Well, wisdom, which in the Hebrew is chokmah, you kind of got to say it that way to really, you know, get the emphasis of it. That is the skill of godly living, the ability to align one's heart, decisions, and actions with God's created order and purpose. Again, same source for that definition, the Elwell's Evangelical Dictionary of Theology, and a pretty well understood one, that it's the skill of godly living. And so what that tells us is when we read wisdom in the book of Proverbs, we need to understand that what we think wisdom is and what it's saying may not be the same. So we need to align ourselves with the text. And in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is referring to this skill of godly living, living in a way that is pleasing to the God of the Scriptures. The skill of living in a way that is in harmony with the ways and the purposes of God. Living in a way that would reflect that we are in a covenant with God. Now, wisdom is not the same as knowledge. Knowledge is about information, about data, about facts, and about truths. And they can be grasped intellectually, but that is not necessarily the wisdom that's being described here in Proverbs. Knowledge can be morally neutral, meaning you can know something that is basically morally neutral, not either way. But godly wisdom must be aligned with God's design and order for it to count as this skill of godly living. So knowledge, think of it this way, knowledge is the information that you need to make the right choice. Wisdom is the ability to make the right choice with the information. And there's a difference. Knowledge sees the map, has the map, just doesn't know what to do with it. Wisdom uses the map rightly to get to the right destination. And now in the book of Proverbs, these two work together. They are not in competition with each other. They're working together. Knowledge is encouraged in the book of Proverbs, but for the purpose of living godly. So now let's move to the purposes of the Proverbs. And again, my hope is that the time we just took to lay that foundation will allow these purposes then to be more understood, easily understood and applied. First purpose of the Proverbs that is coming right here from the text, and I'll say it and then we'll look at the text, to develop the skill of godly living through disciplined instruction. That is one of the purposes, for us to develop the skill of godly living through disciplined instruction. So let's look at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. So there's our author, and we already talked a lot about him. And he's saying, here are the Proverbs. And then he starts with verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction. And so right here at the beginning of the book, after identifying the primary author of this book, what are we told? That these Proverbs of Solomon are written to know wisdom and instruction. Right away, in this book, we are introduced to chokmah, the skill of godly living. He's writing all of these Proverbs so that we know this wisdom and so that we know this instruction. And that second word, instruction, that word has a meaning of discipline attached to it. So I'm reading here in the ESV. It's a disciplined instruction. In fact, some translations actually will translate that same Hebrew word into the word, our English word, discipline, in place of instruction, just to emphasize that. So when you step back and you go, okay, so why do we have this book? Why do we have this collection of short sayings, wise sayings? One of the purposes is so that you and me, we can develop a skill. What is that skill? The skill of living in a godly way. Now let's go back to what we started with. In a world that has chosen to live as if that same God doesn't even exist. The God that has revealed this wisdom to us is inconsequential to them, to others, but to those who are wise, live in a way that is godly. And that is a challenge, for sure, for each of us. Every day, we are faced with that truth of living this way in this world. And so not only are we to develop this skill, but we are to have it developed through disciplined instruction. So according to Proverbs, the wise know how to be instructed. Did you hear that? The wise know how to be instructed. They don't hate instruction, which the Proverbs say often. They invite it, and they do so with a disciplined, godly lifestyle. So first purpose. Now let's look at the second purpose, to develop a discerning mind of understanding. Look at verse 2, to understand words of insight. Now notice how Solomon writes this. The word written understand that we've translated into the English, understand in the Hebrew, that same word is translated as discern in the New American Standard, which is really more of a what we consider to be a literal word-for-word translation, not trying to take in the dynamic equivalency, which some of the other translations do. And then that same word is also translated as perceived in the King James Version. So what that tells us is, gives us a fuller understanding of the word. And the reason for that, the reason that this understand is translated as discern and perceived, is because that Hebrew word has a deeper meaning than just understand. It has a meaning of distinguish. Distinguish. So it's not just understand, but able to distinguish. What are you distinguishing? Well, you're distinguishing from what is right and what is wrong. You're distinguishing truth from error. You're distinguishing wisdom from foolishness. One of the purposes of this book is to help us do that, is to help us become more discerning. And again, by discerning, I mean that you are developing more and more the skill of distinguishing the ways of God from the way of the fool. That's the contrast in the book of Proverbs, all the way through. The ways of God is the way of wisdom, and the way of wickedness is the way of the fool. Solomon is not interested only in helping you understand. He wants to help you discern and distinguish. It's like, I think one of the ways to look at this is, it's like a really difficult true or false question. You ever have one of those, in high school or in college? I remember taking some in seminary, and they were so difficult, the true or false, that I had to read it like 10 times. Is this true or is it false? And it was a question about Jesus. And I'm like, I have no business preaching about Jesus if I can't answer a true or false question about him. But you have to go through the entire statement, right? And you have to read it through a truth grid. And if any of it is false, the whole thing is false. Proverbs exists to help us do that better, to the glory and pleasure of our God. Second purpose. Now let's go to the third. To receive instruction with wisdom and integrity of character. This one we're going to have to look at a little differently. I have a couple different translations here, just because of the way these words were translated. So the ESV says, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. The NIV translates the same Hebrew, receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. And then the New American Standard, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and integrity. And so to summarize this third purpose, God's wisdom trains us to live with integrity. So that last word that the ESV translated equity, that the NIV translators translated fair, that the New American Standard translators translated integrity, that word in the Hebrew has all of those as part of it. And I think integrity does help us to understand all of those elements. We need to live with integrity, especially in the treatment of other people. And this means that we need to have wise dealings, which is what the ESV phrase is. What does that mean, wise dealing? Well, it means that you make choices that honor God and benefit others. Righteousness. You filter instruction through God's truth, not human opinion. The instruction that you're receiving is you're filtering it through the truth of the Word of God. Justice and equity, or integrity. Another word that was also, that same Hebrew word that was translated equity, was also translated in other portions of Scripture in the Old Testament as uprightness. So it's pursuing fairness, being upright, never exploiting the vulnerable. And the way that Proverbs describes this is that exploiting the weak is foolishness, not wisdom. And it's weakness, not strength. So Proverbs envisions a people who deal wisely, who act righteously, and who advocate justly. Now to the fourth purpose, to rescue the naive from the folly of foolishness. You see verse 4, to give prudence to the simple. What does it mean to give prudence to the simple? Well, the Hebrew word there again for prudence, that has a meaning of shrewdness for avoiding evil. So it's an awareness of evil and the shrewdness to avoid it. That's key, isn't it? It's not just, wow, that looks really dangerous. Let me go ahead and walk right towards it. That's not shrewdness to avoid it, right? You have the information, but what you need to do is have this shrewdness to say, that's evil, I got to stay away. Proverbs exists to rescue the fool from foolishness. It provides a shrewdness that allows a person to see and know what is evil and to avoid it. It's another purpose. Now, Solomon's also addressing these instructions to an audience, and he lists that audience. He tells us there are three groups that he addresses here. The first one is that first group are the simple, which is again found in verse 4, to give prudence to the simple. That first line there. Who are the simple? Like, have you ever, anybody ever called you that? Well, you're simple. Be like, I don't know if that's a compliment or a, you know, what that means. The simple in the book of Proverbs are the naive. They're easily swayed and they lack this discernment that we were just talking about. And so these Proverbs exist for those. So what Solomon's saying is, okay, here are the purposes. Who are they for? Well, they're for the simple. Those of you who are easily swayed, that you're taken in too easily. They exist for you to help you not do that. To keep you from being swayed from the ways of God. Being swayed away from truth. The second group addressed are the young. Now that's me. You could laugh now. I'm a terrible joker when it comes to preaching. That's why I hardly ever joke. Because they don't land, right? But the young, for most of us, are like, yeah, I'd like to be in that category. Knowledge and discretion, verse 4, to the youth. To the youth. So let's look at first what's being offered, and then we'll look at the audience. Knowledge and discretion with the knowledge gained. That word for discretion in the Hebrew, it also has a meaning of purpose and plans. Purpose and plans. So it's knowledge with good and godly purposes and plans for that knowledge. So in other words, I don't have knowledge and I'm planning to use it in a way that is not good and godly. And this is what he's instructing to the youth. Now, who are they? Who does Solomon have in mind here? It could really generally be called those with less life experience. The Proverbs in this book are for those who have less life experience. This wisdom that he's offering can help make up for that lack of life experience if they listen to the instruction. And the third group, the teachable wise. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. So these Proverbs are also for those who are already skilled in this practice of godly living. That's important for us to hear because it tells us something. It tells us that one of the characteristics of a wise person is that they are teachable. They demonstrate wisdom. How? By openness to, as the text says, increased learning. The fool, on the other hand, demonstrates foolishness by being closed to instruction. The wise are teachable, the fools hate instruction. And so these are the groups of people that Solomon has in mind here that he is addressing that we see here coming out in the text. And then from here he gives us what I'm just referring to as the foundational statement of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Many will refer to this verse and similar ones like it in the book, which is also Proverbs 9, as the best summary of the entire book. And that is verse 7. And I'll say it this way and then I'll look at the text. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom, and only fools despise this kind of wisdom and instruction. That's kind of how I wrote the foundational statement, but it's coming from the text, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So think about this. The fear of the Lord is where you start, not where you end. It's the beginning of gaining wisdom. If there's no fear and awe of God, and we cannot even begin to understand wisdom or knowledge because it is he is the source of it all. And what does Solomon contrast the fear of the Lord with here? Fools despising wisdom and instruction. Why are they fools? Because they do not honor God with wisdom and instruction. They live how they please. That's how they're living. What is the primary characteristic of the wise in Proverbs? The fear of the Lord. They live in a way, they don't just say, I fear the Lord. They live in a way that honors the Lord God by doing the things he's asking them to do and are demonstrating wisdom and that they're open to instruction. And what is the primary characteristic of the fool? They live indifferent to God. In other words, he has little to no bearing on their life, who they are, who they identify themselves as, or what they do. God doesn't seem to matter on either of those. And by doing that, Proverbs says this, not Mark, Proverbs says they show that they despise wisdom and instruction by living that way. And so going back to where I started, we're living in a world that has all but forgotten that there is an all-wise creator God that knows all things. In our world, this God is treated as if he is the fool, not the all-wise one. How tragic that is. That should break our hearts. We cannot live on this earth as if the all-wise God and his ways has no bearing on us. Another quote here from David Wells, same book, God of the Wasteland. The problem with the modern world is not that it has dismissed God, though this is a problem, absolutely, but that it has domesticated and trivialized him. It is not that people are antagonistic to God, but they are indifferent to him. What we see around us in the modern world is not so much a rejection of God as benign neglect. Think about that. This may be true of an unbelieving world, but may that never be said of those who claim to be his children. When his children, when we ignore his instruction, when we ignore his wise ways, do you know what we're saying? We demonstrate an indifference to the all-wise creator God. I don't need your ways on this one. I'll take it. Consider two gardens. One is tended daily with diligence, weeding, watering, fertilizing. The other is neglected, left to weeds, to drought, to decay. Over time, as you know, which one would thrive? Which withers? Indifference to God is like neglecting a garden. It doesn't just miss the beauty of the garden growing, because you miss that with the neglected garden. And that metaphor would play out with wisdom, the garden growing beautifully. But it also invites this neglected garden ruin. And that, the metaphor connected to that would be folly. Indifference to God's wisdom is like neglecting a garden. It forfeits flourishing and life for ruin and decay. So may we never be indifferent to the all-wise, all-knowing Creator God that we love and serve. I wanted to close by connecting this message of Proverbs to the New Testament message of the gospel. And I want to do that by just reading one passage of scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 27. I should have it here on the screen for it to show up, 1 Corinthians 1, 27. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. Here we have foolishness and wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. That's everything we're talking about. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus. Now here, catch this phrase. Who became to us wisdom from God. Let me read that again. Because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. So Christ here is personifying wisdom from God. Christ himself, righteousness, then the text goes on, sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. What a beautiful picture and the connection of what we see in the Old Covenant and in the Old Testament with the New Testament and the New Covenant in Christ. So let me encourage you, let's walk in our Lord's wise ways and what it is that he's laid out for us in his word. And let us all embrace this skill of godly living from our all-wise God. Let me pray. Lord God, thank you for being the all-wise, all-knowing God. Lord, it is so comforting to us that we can pray to you and know that you know all things. May that strike us with worship. May we not hear that and think, that's no big deal. Help us to live in this godly way in a world that where people around us may be living indifferent to this God. May we live in a way that shows that He is the all-wise, good Creator God, and may that be a testimony to those around us. Thank you, Lord, for Eastside Community Church. Thank you for this body of believers that is seeking to do this kind of work here in Jacksonville. Bless them, Lord. Lead them, guide them by your Holy Spirit, and do a work in and through this body of Christ, we pray, for your glory and honor. Amen.